Morning, church. Oh, we're talking about open heaven. I hope you enjoyed that message last week. I tell you, God really worked on me through that message, and I know He's going to work on all of us today in this message that we're going to be talking about today. We're going to have some fun today, and we're also going to learn something new today. You know, when you get something new, are you proud of it? Most of the time you are. I mean, man, if you could choose between a Craftsman wrench or something you buy at Harbor Freight. You know what I'm talking about. Because here's what we like. We like the best. We like if we can have a T-bone steak or maybe something else. Right? I mean, we're going to choose the T-bone steak. It's just kind of who we are as men and women. A lot of you are the same way. All of us really, we like the good things. We like the best of things. And look, we come by that natural because our God is a God who doesn't like leftovers. He likes the best, the very best of all. He sent the very best, His firstborn, His first fruit. He sent Jesus into this world for us. And He did that so that He could reconcile this world back to Him because God so loved the world that He gave, and He calls us as well in our lives to access the open heavens through our willingness to be givers as well. So that we're not just takers of the T-bone steaks, but we're sharers. Right? If I'm going to cook a steak for you, I'm going to do my best to make yours better than mine. And some of you are saying, well, I'm waiting on the invite. You know, let's just see if you can do that, right? But that's just kind of, that's what's in our hearts. That's how we're made. That's how we're created because that's who our God is and we are created in His image. So today when I talk about accessing the open heavens, I just want you to know that the heavens have been torn open. That's what Scripture said. From the time of Jesus being baptized, what we see is Him raising up. And I talked last week about coming up out of the water and coming back into something, something great, something miraculous, entering into the heavenlies, if you will, on earth as it is in heaven. And as this happens, and as we come up out of that water, we look up and the heavens are torn open. However, there is a way of accessing those heavens in our life. What God wants for us in this life, and as we walk with Him, He wants us to have the best, but most importantly, He wants us to give our best. Life is a gift. It's just a gift. Time, I used to think, was on my side. And now I'm going, it's a lie. You know, I understand what James meant when he said, life is but a breath. It's a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow, but it is a gift. It is a gift, and it's a gift given to each and every one of us. So look, everything Jesus did in life and His ministry was a man who lived under an open heaven. We witness that when the veil is torn in two, when He hangs on the cross, when He breathes His last. You see, the veil in the temple is torn in two. It means access is there now. Now, how do we access it? Of course, our first access is through Jesus. No one comes to the Father except by me. But then there are other principles. There were laws back in the Old Testament days, listen, that are still principles with God today. Did you hear me? Now, I know Jesus fulfilled the law. And I know there's a little bit of rebuttal that comes at me for preaching this. We live in the New Covenant, not in the Old Covenant, not in the Old Testament, if you will, not in the old laws. However, those laws are principles of God. He established those. Now, I can give you a great example. Thou shalt not murder. That's just a great principle with God today. It's a bad thing if you think, well, you know, I'm not under the curse of the law. Jesus takes it one step further. He said, not only should you not murder, but He says it a little bit different. He says, if you even think of your brother in this way, you have already committed murder. So there are still the law, if you will, has been fulfilled in Jesus. Yes, we're not under the curse of the law anymore unless you place yourself there. And there is the ability to do that. I'll show you here in just a moment. Others can place you there as well. I'll talk about that here in just a moment. But what I'm trying to get you to see is that God has given us access to the heavenlies through Him and watch, through His ways. It's through His ways, not ways of our own, right? But through His ways. So today I want to talk about, look, last week we talked about the tithe and the reason we bring the tithe forward and what the tithe is. It belongs to the Lord. It was never ours in the first place. If you take this back into the Exodus principle and you see that Pharaoh, he is not going to listen to Moses. He's not going to let his people go. And eventually God does what? He comes through. There's the spirit that comes through, and it takes what? The lastborns? The lastborn males? No, it takes the firstborn. You ever think the firstborn belonged to him? That's just the way it was in that day and time. So he took what was his. They were stealing, they were robbing from the possibilities, from the potential of knowing God in the way that he wanted to be known. He wanted them to access the heavens, but Pharaoh wasn't going to get there. He wasn't going to listen. He had hardened his heart, is what the scripture says. Proverbs verse 3 and 9, as we go from the 10%, the first fruits, or from the 10% today, we move it over to first fruits when we talk about first fruits today. To access the heaven, we really need to think on first fruits. What are the first fruits in our lives? Now, that doesn't mean, I will tell you, when Wade was born, he had all of his complications. He was my first child. He's my son. I knew his name before he was born. I just couldn't wait for him to be born, all this stuff. Then he had all the difficulties right off the bat, and we're in the NICU, and I remember a really good prayer partner, friend of mine, closer than a brother, if you will. He came up there. He laid his hands on him, well, as he could. He had to stick his hands through a little. He was in an incubator, and he hatched in there. And anyway, this guy's going to, you know, lay his hands. And when he left, he really offended me because he thumped me in the chest about three times, and he said, listen, he doesn't belong to you anyway. He belongs to the Lord. And it didn't set well with me. Wouldn't it be a great place to get? I had a man out of state this week that he started messaging me and doesn't attend the church here but listens to the messages. And he said, hey, have you ever thought to ask God to give you more so that you could give more? And I said, well, yeah, I have. I've asked for that increase. He said, well, I just want to share a testimony of how myself and my family do this. We actually set back the 10%, or we give the first fruits, and then he goes in. But he said, we have an envelope. For anything additional that comes in, we put in that envelope. And I just want to let you know something. We were able to pay over the past month a $600-something electric bill for someone else. And we are just thrilled to be able to do that. And he said, so listening to your messages has it really inspires me because we really live our life this way. He probably didn't know he was going to make the sermon today. But what an interesting thing, a neat testimony about how we access the heavens. So yes, the 10% belongs to the Lord. The first fruits belong to the Lord. What does that look like? Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Now, the new wine, I started to take that out. All right, people say, you know, my daughter Bethany, she was talking to me. She said, well, didn't Jesus drink wine, Daddy? And I said, okay, well, we don't know that it was fermented, okay? There's actually some truth behind that. You'll just have to go back and do your own studies, all right? But we're not trying to get more wine. My point is, we're not trying to get more wine unless it's Jesus, right, in the church. But what we are learning from this is to bring our first fruits of all of our increase. This is one way of accessing the heavenlies in our life. Look, when you bring your first fruit, when you bring your first, when I do my budget, the very first thing in the budget is the tithe and any additional giving. Why? Because it's the first fruit, it means I'm going to live the rest of the month on faith that it's going to be there. Without faith, the scripture says it is impossible to please God. God wants us to know something, that He is our provision, Him totally. Now, I know we tend to say it's our job, or we tend to say, man, what would I do without my job, or what would this look like in my life? But God has His principles, and this is one of His principles. It is the first fruit of all your increase. Whenever Cain and Abel were going to present an offering to God, look, God loved Abel's, but He hated Cain's. What does that mean? Does that mean that God loves ranchers and despises farmers? because one was a rancher, the other was a farmer, and a lot of you men do both. Look, Abel presented the first of his flock to the Lord, gave God his firstling. Cain gave God the leftovers. He gave him basically the leftovers of his fruits and veggies. You know what those look like when they get bad in the fridge? Right? He gave his leftovers. Does God hate veggies? No. He just hates the leftovers, church. So today, as I unpack the first fruit principle, this is a great way of accessing the heavenlies on your behalf. Give God the first and best because it puts God first in your life. See, we live in a day and time in an era that we have redefined and defined and redefined and defined Christianity. We live in a post-Judeo-Christian culture today. A lot of words there that basically say once the majority was Christian, today the majority may claim to be Christian, but they've created their own ways, their own accessibility to God outside of the Scriptures. It's how I feel. God's a God of love. If God's a God of love, then He accepts and doesn't reject anything, anyone, for any practice of any kind. And not true. He rejected, right, in Genesis, with Cain. And so God today still has this way, these principles to access His kingdom. This first fruit principle. Luke chapter 11 verse 42. This is kind of a contentious statement that Jesus says, "But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs and pass by justice and the love of God." So He says, hey, you guys do tithe, you do give. And by the way, the ones that Jesus had the most problem with were the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the religious scribes of the day. And so He's saying, hey, you guys, you know to do this. You know to bring your tithe, and we see you bring it, your tithe of mint, of rue, of all manner of herbs. In other words, your increase. We see that, but you pass by justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. So He doesn't say don't do it. He says, why do you do it? It is to benefit the kingdom, and if you benefit the kingdom, it should benefit His people. It should benefit His people. See, some say, oh, see there, you don't have to tithe. But focus on the more spiritual things here. Taken out of context, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Jesus is pointing to the fact that they trusted their commitment to the law for their righteousness, and they avoided love, justice, and mercy, which is who our God is. You see, today in time we listen to songs that we like by Kenny Chesney. Now the great theologian Kenny Chesney sings a song, "Preacher told me last Sunday morning, son, you better start living right. You need to quit the women and whiskey and carrying on all night. Don't you want to hear Him call your name when you're standing at the pearly gates? I told the preacher, yes I do, but I hope they don't call today. I ain't ready." He goes on to say, everybody wants to go to heaven, have a mansion high above the clouds. Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to go now. Said, preacher, maybe you didn't see me throw an extra 20 in the plate. He said to the preacher, maybe you didn't see me throw an extra, a little additional, a little in the back end of my wallet, right? Maybe you didn't see me throw an extra 20 in the plate. There's one for everything I did last night and one to get me through today. And here's a 10 to help you remember next time. You got the good Lord's ear, say I'm coming, but there ain't no hurry, I'm having fun down here. Don't you know that? And then the song goes on, I'll quit there. That's kind of how we look at it. We throw an extra 20 in the plate, right? We grew up maybe seeing that happening before us, but God has His way saying, hey, I have so much more for you. So much more for you. The last thing God wants to do is to condemn us. He wants us to activate Him in our lives. He says it this way about prayer. You do not have because you do not what? You do not ask. Come to me, all ye who are heavy laden, and you will find rest. We don't have rest because we don't go where? We don't come to Him. He has His ways of accessing who He is, and this is what He wants us to know. See, we're not under the law today. It's been fulfilled, but there are principles of God today that still help us to access Him and put Him on the throne and keep ourselves from being on the throne. It's a temptation. It is. Look, I'm not going to give God this because I need a Craftsman wrench. I give it to him next week. Maybe I'll have $5 to throw on the plate. Maybe. But what puts him on the throne and keeps us from becoming the one who worships ourselves, if you will? The Lord said, thou shalt not have any other gods before me. I believe our God is a jealous God. That's what he says. You know, it's dangerous. And so if we put ourselves on that throne, then get ready, because he's going to probably not stand for that. See, God wants us to access him, to access the heavenlies, to watch him go to work on our behalf, to do the miraculous in our lives. Leviticus 27:20. Look, the first belongs to the Lord. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Exodus 23:19. The best of the first fruits of your ground you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Numbers 3:13. For all the firstborn are mine, man, both of man and of beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. It is the principle of first fruits. Tithe is all throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, from Old Covenant to New Covenant. It's found all the way throughout Scripture. It is a way of accessing God, because it is saying, God, you are on your throne, and I am here to participate in your kingdom, not create one of my own. Abraham tithed the tenth to Melchizedek before the law. You know, isn't that interesting? Melchizedek. That's a funny name. But it's Jesus. I mean, scholars have studied this for years. It's known as the Logos. And what you'll find is that Melchizedek is Jesus in the Old Covenant. There is no necessarily written word on Melchizedek. He kind of shows up on the scene. Abraham says, hey, I'm going to bring a tenth of all my increase, of everything I have. This is prior to the law. I'm going to bring it to you, Mel. And you know, when he does this, it's interesting. When he does this, you know what Melchizedek does the first time through? If you go back and read, this is fascinating. He serves communion. He breaks the bread and serves wine. Isn't it interesting how God works? It's his principle. Old Testament to New Testament. Joshua gave the first of 10 cities. He gave Jericho where? To the Lord. You remember Achan? Achan was the little guy that was running around. He said, hey, man, this is pretty cool. Man, that's some gold right there. I'm going to just stuff some of that in my tent and hide it. And the Lord said, wait. And I mean, poor Joshua, he didn't even know about it. And the Lord, I said, hey, Joshua, you got one over here hiding some. I'll take care of it, right? Because the first 10 belonged to him. Achan didn't honor the first. Here is how the principle is activated in my life. I give the first of my money to the Lord. I give the first and best to my wife, the first and best to kids, the first and best. I go to church on Sundays. Why do I go to church on Sunday? Yesterday was the Lord's day, or yesterday was the Sabbath. Saturday is the Sabbath. Why do we go to church? Why do we come to church on Monday or on Sundays? Come tomorrow if you want to. I'm here. We come on Sundays simply because it's the Lord's day. It's the day of resurrection. We celebrate it. We give it back unto him. See, because I know in giving, it removes the curse of my life, if you will, to redeem the rest. It's a faith act. I know I could go and do other things this morning. You could too. Right? I know I could live life the way I feel like I should live life. I know that many times I feel like, hey, this is my life, instead of seeing that my life is a gift and it actually belongs to him. But what I do matters. There's this challenge of building my own kingdom or helping build his. Exodus 13:13, every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. I just share this because I want you to see God's redemption principle. God, when the heavens are open, this is how God works with us. He wants us to give so that he can redeem what's left. Our God is a God of redemption. From the book of Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, God is teaching one thing. He's teaching redemption. I am going to redeem what belongs to me. This is what He's after. He's after it for our own blessing, our own good. Look, church, I'm not preaching this series so that we see our baskets get full. I know some of you go and you go and eat lunch, and you'll say, how much longer we got to listen to that? I'm actually doing it for this, for the reason for you to understand a principle that we've lived with for years. Allison and I, years and years and years ago, and we want the church to be able to access the heavenlies. That's what this is about. Look at this. The firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. The beast of burden. A donkey is a beast of burden. A donkey is something that when it was born, it would just help you. You could use a donkey for anything and everything. And this is what he says. He says, every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Jeez, that's tough to do. Some of you that rope, you ever rope a donkey? Look at you. All of y'all standing out there just looking like this. But it's true, a donkey you can just rope over and over and over and over and over. They're handy. Audie, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You run one through, man. And just bring him back, run him through again. Better than a calf. You say, why do I share that? You can't break a donkey's neck. It's tough. I've never done it. I'm just saying, okay? But in their day and time, this is what he said. He said, hey, every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Take a lamb in there and thank the Lord for it. Now, I know lambs give too. I know that lambs are precious before the Lord. I get this, but he's saying, hey, redeem that donkey, right? If you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. You redeem. Now, today, God redeems, and he redeems it this way. He gave us his first fruit in his son Jesus to redeem us. See, Christ redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us from the curse of the law that we might be the redeemed of God. So as we move on, this is what happens. I've got it up here because I got the timer set because I want to move us along here. So how many of you understand that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, that we are the redeemed of God? I hope that all of you know that, right, through His Son, Jesus Christ. However, you can walk under a curse. And I'll show you how if you accept this. Because you'll listen to the accuser, you'll listen to the giver of lies, and as you listen to this, that can stick to you. I'll give you an example. If your dad said or told you you'll never amount to anything, and you've lived that out in your life, that you never amounted to anything. Well, that's not what the Lord says. The Lord says, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my heir. But you see, your earthly father might have said something to you that placed a curse on you for the rest of your life. And if we're not careful, we do this because we come up with our own theological opinions of how we are to give, or how we are to access the kingdom, or how we are to, or not, or how all roads lead to the same place. All religions get you there. It's not true. The accessing of the kingdom, look, is about redemption, and it's about God redeeming us through His Son, Jesus Christ. One of the largest lies we have today is the spirit of poverty. The heavens are closed, disconnecting us from what the heavens can do. Your little lunch doesn't provide much for the heavenlies. Well, that's bull. That's bull. Every little bit makes a difference in the kingdom of God because He's a God of multiplication. 30, 60, 100-fold is what He says. He does it. We don't. He is my source. I'm under an open heaven. The kingdom is now activated. We bring our first because it's an act of our faith. See, and He begins to redeem my thinking. He redeems my mind. Do you ever get caught up in a besetting sin? You just keep going back to it, keep going back to it. The scripture says it like this. It's like a dog that returns back to his vomit. Do you have that problem? No, that's not a good image. But if you have that problem, this is what he's saying. Hey, let me get a hold of it. Access me because I want to redeem that. I want to redeem your thinking, redeem your mind, redeem your actions. Exodus concluded, every firstborn among your sons you shall redeem with a lamb. When John the Baptist sees Jesus, what does he say? He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Because our God's a God of redemption. See, he professed the faith of Jesus because he's going to be sacrificed to remove the curse of sin and death and redeem the rest that would come in Christ Jesus. Last thing I would say this morning is Jesus is the first of God. Romans 8:29, "For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." Colossians 1:15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." So here Paul is making a point that Jesus is the firstborn and he was given for every one of us to be redeemed in him by his blood. Revelation 1:5, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings on this earth, to him who loves us, who has freed us from our sins by his blood." God gave his firstborn, his clean Lamb of God, for unclean man. Jesus was the firstborn of creation, firstborn among brothers, firstborn among the dead. God gave his first and best at the cross to show us how much he loved us, church. So that we would be redeemed, but that we would be sons and daughters of the redeemed God, living in the redemptive principle of him. To know it is better to give than to receive. To build his kingdom, not our own. You know, the Lord gave Moses instruction in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 20. This is what he says. "When your son asks you in time to come, saying, 'What is the meaning of my... of the testimonies, the statutes, the judgments which the Lord our God has commanded you,' then you shall say to your son, 'We were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand.'" In other words, the Lord brought us to a place of redemption, a place of milk and of honey, a place that he called us to for years and years, but it took faith for us to move, to have faith that God would feed us in the morning and feed us in the evenings and deliver us from our enemies. That God would take us across the river into this place that he's called us to, that we can access. That's what he calls us to today in the new covenant. As the veil was torn, he's looking for us to be examples to the next generation, to tell them the stories, to show through examples in our lives. When the question is asked, why? We have the opportunity to say, because our God is a redemptive God and we have faith in him and him alone. In him and him alone. Would you please stand? I'm going to ask the altar team to make their way forward this morning. And if you need prayer for anything this morning, just know we're here for you. Have you ever thought why Jesus would say words like this? He would say, "Where two or three are gathered, there I am in their midst." Why would he say that? Because what he's saying is, where two or three are gathered in my name, they're gathered there in me. What they're calling on is my redemptive principle to be activated in their life. If you need healing, what do you need? You need the redemptive healing of God. If you need financial help, what do you need? You need redemption of God in your finances. Maybe if you move on from health, maybe it's in relationships. Maybe you have a difficult time with relationships. And what you need is the redemptive hand of God to move for his kingdom to come in those areas of your life, any of your areas. Ask yourself, am I accessing his heavens on his terms? We're here for you to do that. Father God, take this time and make it yours. Lord, activate that redemptive principle in our lives. Let us see it. And help us to be faithful. For Lord, it's faith that is the currency that moves you. So Father, may we be a faithful congregation, watching your hand move in our lives. In Jesus' name.